The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. Now, one of the reasons that I love Cool Stuff Inc. is because of their rewards program, which you become a member of just by making a purchase. After that, every purchase you make pushes you towards another level of the program, which means even more savings. Right now, I'm on level 6, which means I save 8% on all of my magic singles and 2% on booster boxes and board games. So head on over to CoolStuffInc.com and start saving money today. Hi, mateys. This is episode 13 of the Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
And we are back. We have survived the chaos and the madness of Grand Prix Vegas.
Woo!
Just barely, it feels like.
Yeah. Just barely. I think you said that you're recording from bed, Katie?
Oh, yes. And I am horizontal as we speak, and it is wonderful.
So what is, I'm just imagining your setup. Like, I'm imagining you in, like, this pink fuzzy robe with, like, sleep blindfolds on and, like, a dog on your right and maybe, like, an iguana on your left and just all glamorous and veterinarian.
That's a fine picture to have.
Is it accurate at all?
I have a white robe on. That's all. Watson's not back yet from my dad's house. He's bringing him by after we're done recording, so.
Oh, I bet he misses you.
I miss him, too. I can't wait. I can't wait to see my little fur baby.
Yeah, my cat was happy to see me, but she has this obsession with rubbing her face on things. So she ran towards me, like, when I walked in the door, and she does this little thing where her meow almost sounds like a ribbit. So she does this, and she runs towards me, and you would think that she's going to rub her face on me, but she runs past me and then rubs her face on the suitcase. So she's like, not now, foreign object, hello. And she rubs her face, and I'm just standing there like, okay, I'll wait till you're done. And then when she's rubbed her face on enough of the suitcase, then she looks at me like, oh yeah, and you're back. And then she rubs her face on me, and that's how she shows.
Well, you're second line.
I'm okay with that. I've learned my place as a cat owner. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. Shoutouts. We have some new iTunes reviews, which have come through since we've been gone. The first one is from Rubonic, I believe, said, best podcast on the planet, 5 stars. Listening to the show makes me enjoy magic more. These ladies make the show fun and bring a friendly, laid-back, and comfortable approach to discussing life and magic-related topics. I laugh all the time, and my interest is kept throughout. Thank you very much for that. Music lover Sass said, 5 stars, simply the best. Very Tina Turner. This is the best podcast for women magic to listen to. They talk about everything we care about. There are not many girl magic players in my local scene, and this show allows me to relate to other women in the community as a whole. Thank you so much. And lastly, we have one from Jade Era Claire, who says, this podcast was the spark that relit my magic playing fire. It's really nice to hear strong female voices chat about the game and life in general. I always look forward to Monday morning for new episodes. Thank you so much, Jade. And our shout out this week, our Women of Excellence, goes out to Violet Edgar, who is a level 2 lady judge from Germany, and she happens to be trans. She just recently started her transition, taking hormones, and she was featured in they started doing these pieces at all 3 GPs, these, I don't know what to call them, maybe social interest pieces, human interest?
Yeah.
And they were just interviewing people from different walks of life, and they interviewed her, and she was very poised, very smart, and she looked good as well. And she talked about her experience being a lady judge and a trans woman, and even gave us a shout out, which was very lovely. So rock on, Violet. Keep doing the thing. We're very proud of you.
She added me as a friend on Facebook, and she wrote on my wall and was like, hey, love the podcast. Also, my sister lives in Manhattan, which is like basically part of Bozeman, which is the town I live in, and she was like, she might become a judge, but she doesn't play magic yet, so we need to get her on that train. And I was like, oh, cool. So, small world, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, I've known Violet for a while. We started communicating on Twitter when she was still presenting predominantly as male, and she had indicated that she had some insecurities or wasn't sure if she would, for lack of a better word, do a good job or be good at it. And I was definitely telling her that, you've got this and you're strong enough and you have what it takes. And then she started doing it, and I didn't even recognize her. Like when I saw her new header, I was like, "What? Violet, is that you?" And I was just blown away. And not to focus too much on her looks, because it's not about that, but she just looked great and she carried herself well. And especially having that camera on you, it can be really nerve-wracking, and she didn't let it show. So I was just proud of her on every level. So, GP Vegas, we've survived. We're going to be spending most of the show talking about it because we did so much while we were there. Let's start off with the behind the scenes, because Katie, you got there fairly early.
So Brooke and I flew in and we arrived in Vegas at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, and we went and we helped set up because they were compensating people for that. So we helped set up Tuesday and Wednesday, and that was a large undertaking. Tuesday we got put on doing pre-registration pools for the 3,000 people, or at least we made 3,000 pools for people who might have pre-registered. And by the end of the day, I felt like I didn't know the alphabet anymore, and I never wanted to like see another Magic card again. I was like, I'm so over this. But it was really fun. Every time we opened a cool pool, there was a girl who was taking photographs for Channel Fireball, and they were taking pictures of neat things. So if you opened like a foil Goyf and a Noble Hierarch in the same pack or something, she'd come around and take pictures of it. And we opened 15 foil Goyfs in the 3,000 pools that were registered, and I opened two of those. So I'm quite proud of myself. Yeah, not that I get to keep them or anything.
And not that you gave them to us.
They stopped being exciting. Like people would open a Goyf and they'd raise their hand and be like, "Hey, do you want to take a picture of this?" And she's like, "Nah, we'll just mark it down as another number." And then Wednesday we did a lot more legwork type stuff, setting up. It was kind of like 150 judges standing around looking at these four guys that are unloading these tables, and they had to unload every single table for the whole hall while we're all just standing there looking at them, like waiting to put tablecloths and numbers up and do all that stuff. So that process was a little slower than expected, but we packed a bunch of sealed pools. We did 150 cases worth of 32 player grinders.
Whoa.
There was just an unreasonable amount of product being unloaded and distributed. It was crazy. We were like picking up all these packs and stuff, and by the end of the day, it felt like we'd seen so much that how could they have any value? But obviously, they have a ton of value. So, the setup was definitely a long process, but it was fun. Everybody was in good spirits, so.
Were you in danger of running out of product? Because one of the horror stories I heard from the first Vegas was you almost ran out of packs.
Not that I was aware of. Like the hall was so big that if that happened, I probably wouldn't have heard about it. There was people I still on Sunday, I was like, I have never seen you before, but you're working this event and have been here for 6 days, so. But I think they had an abundance of product. Sunday night at the end, we got to the judge staff got to draft with the extra stamped product that they had gotten from Wizards. So that was really fun. But I don't think we're ever in danger of running out.
Okay. How would you describe the mood? Like, how were the players that you interacted with?
I was actually telling a few people, I think everybody was really, really positive. I think I had like two negative interactions over the whole weekend, and with the amount of people I was dealing with, that's a really, really good record. I think everybody was, having fun. And I think Thursday they had a little snafu with the side events, and I heard those were taking a bit longer to fire than they would have wished, but throughout the rest of the weekend they got it under control and everybody was back to having fun from what I could tell.
So it sounds like you're glad you worked the event.
Yes, my feet were very tired and my head was tired, but it was very fun.
Let's talk about our pools, those of us who played in the event. Hallie, what did you open? How did it go?
So, those of you who follow me on Twitter have probably already seen this. I opened two Horde of Notions in my pool. For those unfamiliar, Horde of Notions is a 5/5 with Vigilance, Trample, and Haste that costs one of each color of mana. It's an elemental. It has an activated ability that if you pay one of each color of mana, you can bring an elemental back from your graveyard onto the battlefield. And so I look at my pool, and I'm just really confused about what I'm going to do with this. And I guess I should preface this by saying that I'm very conservative when it comes to limited play, in terms of mana bases, at least. Like, I usually try to play two colors, maybe splashing a third. You know, I tried to venture into three color when I drafted Khans of Tarkir. But five color was completely new for me. It's just, like, not something I do regularly. So I looked through my pool, and I was trying to make some kind of, like, a two- or three-color deck work. You know, could I do blue-white artifacts? No, the curve is awkward. Could I do red-green? No, I don't have removal. This is weird. And so I finally was just like, okay, so Horde of Notions is an elemental. How many elementals do I have? So, like, I have a Smoke Braider and a Water Servant and a Mole Drifter and a Wolfbriar Elemental, and I just keep looking, and I eventually found 11 elementals in my pool. So I was just like, okay, this is either going to be amazing or terrible, but you know what? I'm in Vegas. Let's try this. So I had a lot of mana fixing, so it actually worked out okay. The deck was not consistent at all, but I did get to cast Horde of Notions 6 times over the course of the 6 rounds that I played, so that was cool. And yeah, it was an interesting deck. If you want to see the whole thing, Gathering Magic actually did a feature on me. They were supposed to do a feature on Kenji Egashira, Numat the Nummy, but he accepted an offer to do commentary for Channel Fireball at the last minute. So Stibbs came up to me on Thursday and was like, hey, you do strategy stuff for us too. Do you want to do this? And I was like, sure, why not? This will be fun. And then I opened this pool and I was like, you know what? At least I'm going to give them a good, fun deck tech. I may fail miserably, but at least this will be an interesting, this will be a spicy one. So I dropped at 3-3. A lot of my games were really, really close. Things like, you know, my opponent top decking a burn spell at just the right time, or like hitting me with a Hellkite Charger when I didn't have a removal spell for it, or things like that. But I had some really, really good games, and you know, the competition was good. I wish I had a more consistent deck that I could have built from my pool, but you know, c'est la vie. It was still pretty fun.
Chris, how was yours?
Well, I opened up my packs, and I was pleasantly surprised to see that I had pulled two Swans of Renargle.
Yay!
Which made me very happy. And when I saw Hallie the first night that they were there, I got another Swan, so now I just need one more to make my other deck work, so that'll be good. So I got the two Swans. I also got an Etch Champion, a foil Cranial Plating, foil Vapor Snag. I had an Artisan of Kozilek, an Ulamog's Crusher, an Aya Ugin. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to do blue-white artifacts, and I'll put some Eldrazi in there, because I figured, why the hell not? Everything else didn't seem like it was going to work. I didn't have enough to make, I felt, multiple colors work at all. I felt confident in the deck, but after watching what everyone else was playing, everyone was doing like 4 or 5 colors. And I was, I guess, kind of surprised by that. I would have thought that most people would have been like 2 to be safe, but it worked for other people. If I had been able to do it, maybe I'd go back again, but I still feel confident about the cards that I pulled. I played a lot of, I played Jund, I think, twice in the event. Then was like a 4-color thing after that. And the games were kind of close. I did win, I won one of the games round 1, and I think then round 2, but I lost out of 3. And then the last game I played was also versus blue-white artifacts with some different cards in it. But what made me really happy is I was able to use the Swans to actually mill my opponent out. because you swung at me with a 14-14, and I was like, block? And then he just, like, yeah, it was like, why would you do this? And then he, like, flipped over all his deck, and it was exactly 14 cards that he had left. Nice. So we moved on to the next game. Yes, he was very about that. So, but then I ended up losing the next game, and at that point, I was just like, ugh, this isn't fun anymore. I was like, I'll just give you the last one. I'm like, this is my five rounds. I think I'm out. It was still fun, but I guess at that point I was like, I didn't want to play the mirror. So I was like, I'm ready to be done and do other things. But I thought it was really cool. The one thing that I was kind of disappointed about, just from a, I guess, overall tournament perspective, was the sleep-in special people. They had sit down with everyone else, but then they spent like maybe like half an hour or something having the people that weren't sleep-ins build their pool, everything else, and they passed out our product, though. But they told us not to open it, but then they wanted us to pull out the deck list, so everybody thought that that applied to us. So people started pulling out their deck lists, and we weren't supposed to. So it was just kind of confusing trying to figure out what we were supposed to do and what they were supposed to do. And the guy across from me, I thought he was going to like fly out of his chair, because he's like, I can't take this anymore. How much longer? And I'm like, oh my God. And it was just unreal. But that's the only thing I wish had been done a little differently, maybe to call sections and say that this section needs to do this or something, because everyone was firing off at different times. But that was only my little weird thing about that, because then the guy behind us is like, they're looking at their deck list. They're building their deck mentally in their head. They technically have another 10-minute advantage or something over us. And I'm like, it's not as serious. It's like, you ain't winning, I ain't winning. We'll be fine. We got cards. We're good. But overall, I was glad I did the event. Got the playmat, even though it wasn't as cool as the click one. Got some cool cards. And really, aside from that, no complaints.
How did the walk the plans together thing go?
Oh, I did run into some people that had the shirt. I feel like I saw more of them later, but you know, it was such a big haul. Mm-hmm. Trying to find everyone that was wearing the shirt was like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Mm-hmm. But when I walked over to my section, there was a girl on the phone. I didn't want to interrupt her too much. And I was like, hey, high five. And she's like, yeah. And she gave me high five, but she had the Liliana one on, which I wish I would have known about that one, because I would have bought both at that point instead of just the Chandra one. But I did high five a lot of people. I don't know if I actually got a picture of myself wearing the shirt, but it seemed like really cool. Like maybe if it got off on an easier foot to be a little more well-organized the next time, like at the next Grand Prix they go to, I think it could really be a good thing. And I was happy to see that there were people that were supporting the project and everything. And I still believe in it. They do it again, I'll participate. Why the hell not?
Mm-hmm. It seemed to me like there were a lot of women in the event in general.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've never seen that many women at a Magic tournament before, and it was just mind-blowing to me. Aside from the main event, I played in four side events, and in every single one of my side events, I either played against a woman, was sitting near a woman in deck building, you know, was talking to a woman while waiting in line for pairings. They were just everywhere. So, you know, good job, ladies. Good way to represent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was impressed with that as well, because one of the things I do typically when I walk into an event is I just start counting heads. I just start looking for lady heads, and I start counting them. And usually I can stop at 10, maybe 20. I lost count at 50, where I was just walking through the hall in circles, and I couldn't. At past 50, I lost count. And I was just like, this is a good problem to have.
Yeah.
There were issues with the sleep-in special, though. I will agree with you on that. I had one buy, and so I got there early because I couldn't sleep. I was just too excited. And my name was on the first round pairings. And I was like, I have a buy. Like, am I supposed to be sitting down? And they were like, nope, you're fine. And I'm like, okay. So I went and killed time somewhere else. And then the second round was coming up. Or I think that was the first list of pairings, I think, was for deck building. That was what I was listed on. And I was like, am I supposed to be there for that? And they were like, no. Then the round one pairings came up, and it said that I was awarded the bye. And I was like, but I don't even have a deck yet. I was just really worried. I'm like, shouldn't I have a deck by now? And they didn't communicate that very well. So I was running around panicked. I was the one who sort of lost her cool with one of the judges. And, they were sort of frantically trying to find space for us. And then when they did, there was confusion because then the people with two buys were like, well, where are our decks? Like, what's going on? And I definitely feel like the whole deck building with the sleep and special folks could have been handled better. I agree with you on that. That was very awkward. But my pool was chaotic. I admit I didn't do any sort of prep for this, and I was literally paralyzed with all the choices. I was just like, I've got some Bloodthirst, I've got some Graft, I have three of that spell with the X green put counters on things. And then I had some artifacts, I had a Noble Hierarch, I had a Mox Opal. I was seriously considering dropping because I had so many choices and I couldn't decide. I was like, I don't have, I want to play everything. Like, I can't choose just 40 cards and I can't choose just so many colors. I was like, I don't know what to do. And, our judge was like, you got 9 minutes of deck building and you still have to fill out your list. And I was just like, I don't know. So I ended up going with three colors. I went with a blue-black control list with a little bit of white, and my plan was basically dirtle until I can get two Ulamog's Crushers out. So I had Narcolepsy, Pillory of the Sleepless, I had Mana Leaks and things like that, and it worked for the most part. Like, I had a bye the first round. I won the second round against Affinity. The third game, I played a really awesome lady from Boston. I believe her name was Ariana. And she was so much fun. We were literally like squealing idiots. We were like, I love your play mat. I love this dude. We had so much fun. And people were looking at us like, are you guys done? Like, we just clicked. And she was so much fun and I couldn't even be mad at her. And she said something that stood out to me. When she would start each game, she would say, good luck to both of us. And I didn't even have to, so, and I was like, wow, I've never heard that before. So I was like, I would just say you too, and it was just a really cool thing. And she was really lovely. She beat me with an aggro deck, and I was like, I hope you take the thing down. And I told her about the show. She wrote down the name of the show, so that was cool. My third round opponent was attached to his cell phone, and he was playing five colors into Etched Monstrosity. So I was like, all right, girl, you win. You can have that. The last opponent that I stayed for, it was a gentleman named Thor from Iceland who had beautiful blue eyes. And he was playing a junk list with two Wiltleaf Lieges and a Creakleaf Liege.
Nice.
And that was one of those where I was like, you know what? You came to win. Like, I'm not even mad. Like, that's just a list I could have never beat. He was really lovely and had actually listened to my previous show, so he knew who I was, and that was really fun. And it was the most fun I've ever had losing. Like, I didn't tilt. I was very cool with everything that happened. I had fun playing everybody, and it was like you said, it was a very positive environment, and I had so much fun. So the only downside I think about the format was I was a little disappointed that the format seems to reward people for color vomit, for just playing five colors. And, I would have liked to have seen more, decision making and more weighing, going, is this card as good as this card? Is this color as strong as this color? And I know why people enjoy playing all the things because I was around for Return to Ravnica and things like that, but I would have liked to have seen the format be more to reward, less colors. Because I did feel like I was seeing people just play whatever they had, and there was no real theme there, there was no real cohesion, and it just wasn't something I enjoy. So after we got done playing, we spent a lot of time being social. We went to at least three different parties while we were there. The first one we checked out was the Command Zone party on Thursday night, where we got to play Commander. What did you girls think of that?
A.E.
It was really
Marling
cool.
completely crushed us.
A.E. Marling?
Yeah, we got decimated.
Yeah, he was playing a Nicol Bolas deck with Scourge of Valkis and Waste Not. Fun times.
That was really cool too. Like, there was a guy, I think he said his name was DJ, who came up to us and was like, "Hey, do you guys need to borrow some decks? I have three decks that I'm not using." And that was really cool. So, thanks for lending us decks. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. I actually saw him later and he told me that he worked for MTG Price and I was like, "Oh, that's really cool." It's like, I didn't know that. It's like, "You're the guy that lent us the commander deck. Thanks so much for that."
Nice.
I totally forgot his name. Like, I saw him later on in the weekend and he was like, "Hey." And I'm like, "Hey." Do I know you? And he's like, I loaned you a deck the other night. And I'm like, oh, right, Randall. And he's like, DJ. And I'm like, oh, sorry.
Just Randall.
I met a lot of people. I'm sorry. My heart was in the right place. But yeah, he was really lovely. I don't normally play Commander. And I know that's some feedback that we've received in the past few weeks is, why don't you talk about Commander more? And we're just unfortunately not really big Commander players. But I had a lot of fun doing that. It was nice to do something we don't normally do. And they had quite a spread. They had beers and waters and little sandwiches and chips. And as we were leaving, I think they announced that they were doing free conspiracy drafts. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, I wish we could have stayed. Like, it was just a really nice mm-hmm. time. So saw a lot of familiar faces there. Jason Ault was there. Christine Sprinkle was there. Trick Jarrett showed up. Blake Rasmussen, who I totally embarrassed myself around. I completely word vomited. I was like, oh, you're the hottie who writes for Wizards. Shit. And he's just like, yeah, pass it. Reason number 571, why we'll never work at Wizards. Friday night, we had dinner together as a foursome. We'd never really met before, which was really lovely. And then we went to the Pooka party.
The party was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And our dinner was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dinner was very good, considering that we weren't even close to the hotel we were supposed to be
at. Yeah, true that.
So for those who are listening, we were supposed to go to the Residence Inn, which is where the Pooka party was being held. And we got into a cab. I shoved my phone into the driver's face, and I was like, Residence Inn, go. And we had this man from New York who took us to a Residence Inn. And we were like, we've got some time to kill. Let's go ahead and get dinner. So we went to a nice brewery restaurant, had a lovely time. We go to the Residence Inn, and we're like, we're here to see the nerds. And the front desk guy goes, there's no nerds here. And we're like, oh, well, I'm sorry, that was probably crude of me. They're Pooka party, Pooka trade. And he's like, no, they're not here either.
There's no party here.
There's no party here. So we're like, this is the Residence Inn. And he goes, this is a Residence Inn. Which one are you looking for? Come to find out that ours was literally across the street from the venue.
Yeah, and we had told the cab driver that, which is why I was a little annoyed. Like, we had said, like, the Residence Inn on Paradise Road or whatever that road was called. And yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I know that. And then you just took us on, like, a 15-minute journey somewhere else.
And it wasn't even on Paradise Road. It was on a side street off of Paradise Road. Like, I don't know how you messed that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I tipped him 30%, too. So if I find that cab driver, I want my 30%.
He was from Queens, was it? New York?
He was from New York, and I bet he was totally a Yankee fan, too.
Oh. I just loved his accent. He was like, my mother. Mother. No R, mother. I was like, can you just keep talking? Like, this is crazy. But the party itself was fun. It was interesting for me because people really wanted to meet you guys. And I feel like that was a consistent theme throughout the weekend where you guys got your first taste of quote-unquote fame. Like, what was that like for you all?
It was a little nerve-wracking, only because I was like, people want to meet me. Because, like, I hope everything that I've said thus far has come off somewhat intelligent. They're not like, there's that girl that says all that weird shit on that podcast. But it was nice to meet people. Like, yeah, we like the show, and it's really cool. We're really supportive of everything that you're doing. And probably my favorite folks that I met over the weekend were the people from MTG Focus. They were just so gracious and nice and wonderful and genuine, and I would love to see them again at another event. They were like the first people I ran into. I was just like organizing my bag before the party, before anything, and they're like, are you Chris? I'm like, oh god. And I'm just like, yes. And then he's like, this is Eric from MTG Spikes. I'm like, oh hey, what's going on? And his wife Nydia offered me gummy bears, and they're like my favorite. No, I didn't take any because I was chewing gum. But you know, yeah, it was just so awesome to have so many people like approach you and want to talk to you, whether they were from another podcast, they were like a fan, or you know, just anything. And it was a little overwhelming, but at the same time it was really cool. And once I was able to kind of relax a little bit, just kind of felt like I could hang out with these people again and I wouldn't feel awkward about it probably the second time around. But it was fun, great experience. I would do it again.
Yeah, I almost kept feeling like I kept forgetting I was on the show. I mean, obviously I do this every week, but I would like, it's surprising to me how many judges knew who I was. Like I'd go up and I'd be like, hey, I'm here reporting for duty. They'd introduce themselves. They'd be like, oh, I'm Katie. And they'd be like, I know. And I was like, what? How do you know? Oh, I listen to your podcast. And then I'd be like, oh, yeah, I do that. Cool. And so every time somebody said that, I was like, man. And I think about everything I said, and I was like, I hope that I had the same thing as Chris. I was like, I hope that sometimes I sound intelligent in some capacity on the show. Like, what have I said? But yeah, it was definitely interesting. I gave my first few autographs, which was a new experience. And I had only a couple people that I think recognized me and that came up and was like, hey, I listen to your podcast. And it was really neat.
Yeah, it was weird for me too, because when I first got to the venue on Thursday, I was just talking to one of my friends who was scorekeeping, and a girl comes up behind me and she's like, Hallie, and she waves like as she's walking past me. And I was like, hi, who are you? And she just walked away, and I was like, that's really sweet, but also I don't know what to do about this. But yeah, I met a lot of really cool people. I agree, the MTG Focus people were awesome. I had the opportunity to meet Roberto several months ago when he came up to Seattle for a PPTQ, and he has been really awesome and very supportive of us. So, you know, I listen to his show from time to time. I think the prevailing feeling I had over the weekend was almost like one of guilt, because there were so many people who, you know, create such wonderful content for the community. And I only, you know, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. And so as I was walking around and meeting people, I was just sort of like taking notes, like, okay, this podcast, I'm going to listen to this, like, I'm going to add this to my roster. So I was really glad to meet a lot of people, because now I have so much awesome content to listen to now. So I really enjoy being part of that community now.
Cool. The last party that we went to was the Heavy Meta party, and that was at so there were two houses. There was the compound, and then there was the headquarters, and these guys went all out. Hallie, you politely bowed out of this one, and I think, Katie, you had other plans as well, so me and Chris went to this one. And Chris, what did you think?
It was very interesting, because, like, I don't know, I guess I was expecting, like, I don't know, some really crazy, like, in-your-face shit. And, you know, we walked in, and it's like, oh, people are playing Magic at the table. Oh, there's food and drinks. And, you know, it was, at first it was like, let's just sit around and chat a little bit, and then more people started coming in, and everyone was just very excited to see one another, meet new people that they had never met in person before, and just have some drinks and have a good time. And, like, I ran into someone that they were really into comic books, so I spent, like, a very long time talking about comics with that person, and his name was John, I believe, one of Marcel's friends, and he was really cool. And one thing that was, like, an overwhelming thing that I noticed at that party at the Command Zone meetup at the Puka party, this community really likes to hug everyone.
Yes.
And it was just very interesting, because I feel like I hadn't been part of anything like that since I was, like, in my later years of high school or early college. Like, my friends just stopped, you know, hugging. We didn't greet with hugs. We were like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, whatever. And so it was nice to feel like, I don't know, that kind of bond again with people, especially people you had never met before. And people were like, let's have a hug. Oh, let me shake your hand. Oh, here's a drink, or here's a this. Do you need anything? And it was just very, like, wow, like, this is, like, really cool. Like, I feel like maybe we've known each other, like, 10 years, but this is the first time we've met in person. So that was kind of interesting to observe. And the house was very nice. I would go in on something like that with people. Like, if there was ever, like, a big event like that where everybody was going and wanted to split something, Aaron wanted to show everybody the porn shower. That was on the first floor.
Oh, my
floor.
God.
Porn
that shower?
Shower
was epic.
Yeah.
Okay, so they had the shower, and I guess the best way, I called it the sex shower, because it was this green-tiled shower with two different shower heads on opposite ends.
Ooh, a two-person shower.
But it was, I mean, it was about the size of, like, a big closet. Yeah. Like, it was big. Like, you could easily fit, like, six people in there. But it had no door. There was just a hole where the doorway was, and I was like, oh, man. I was like, this is saucy.
Yeah, it was fairly interesting. But I chilled at the compound for a while. I had to deal with some minor drama issues that I wasn't too excited about, but once I let it stop bothering me, I decided to keep on having fun. Aaron and I went upstairs on the balcony and we were talking to people. And while we were up there, TSG asked me if I wanted to go cube with him and Mike and a bunch of other people. And I was like, never done a cube draft before.
She was so cute. She was like, she comes up to me and she's like, TSG just asked me to cube with him. What do I do? And I'm like, sweetie, you fucking go. Like, if Tristan Sean Gregson offers to take you to the SCG headquarters, you fucking do it. Or the HVU head, or the SVU headquarters, you go. Like, there's just no, you go and have a good time.
And I did. It was really cool. Like, we went back there and we put the packs together and passed them around, made our little deck, and I did like a green-red aggro-y type situation that was cool, but like he had said when we all sat down, a lot of people immediately go to draft blue, and I was like, well, I'll stay away from that because they're probably going to grab all the good cards anyway or something. So every time I had like a really big threat that I was like, Primeval Titan, this, it was like, oh, I need to deal with that right away. But there were so many powerful cards in there, and it was just very interesting experience. Like, I would probably build a cube now that I've done it, and got home at like 4:30 in the morning. I like crawled into bed and I'm like, oh my god. And then Christopher calls, he's like, can you go to the venue soon? I'm like, no, I need a little more sleep, I'm sorry. It was just like bizarre, but I'm really glad I went, and the party was fun, cubing was fun, so yeah, really glad I was able to power through and stay up for it.
I just want to say that TSG was one of the sweetest people that we met, and one of my favorite moments from the Heavy Meta House is when he talked to you, Chris. We were all on the balcony, and he was talking to you about how you were dealing with being a new podcaster and a new face, and there was a moment where he was giving you advice, and I was just watching it happen with Heather and Helen, because Helen Bergia was there, and it was just a moment where I was like, you're in the group now. Like, you've been sort of, you know, if somebody, I have a lot of respect for TSG, and the fact that he saw something in you to talk to you like that and then to invite you to the cube, it was like, that's my little girl. Like, I couldn't help but feel very proud of you at that moment. And he actually, we ran into him at the airport as well, and he was super lovely to us and told us that we were doing good work and that we should keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, I just have a lot of respect for the guy. And the SVU as a whole was very kind to us. You know, we got to meet Maddie Studios. We met, you know, Deathrite Magus, and Marcel was there, and all those guys just have a lot of heart to them. And I think people have a hard time sometimes looking beyond the party persona. You know, like, those guys really do love each other, and they're very welcoming, and they just want everybody to have a good time, and we did. And I had a lot of great conversations with people, and they made sure that we all got home okay, and that we're all well taken care of. And can you imagine if we got a house, like the girlfriend bracket house?
We were talking about that. It would be really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be wild? We would have, like, just a massive slumber party. Like, we could go through the Hall of Fame and pick out who the cutest guys are. Maybe we could play, like, Dream Phone. Like, I'm going to call Paulo. And
I played games with Paulo.
Yeah, you went to Ifro's pool party, didn't you? Oh, look at Holly Madison over here.
It was very interesting. So, me, Brooke, and Cody went. And we taxied out there, and it was farther than we expected. So it was like a $60 taxi ride or something. And his house is really, really awesome. And he, you know, obviously has a pool. But we all walked in, and like Huey Jensen answered the door when we rang the doorbell because we weren't sure if we were just supposed to walk in. And we came in, and we took off our shoes, and then there's like 15 to 20 pro players all just sitting on these couches, like, watching us as we walk in. And we're just like, hi, I'm Katie. This is Brooke and Cody. And everybody at once just goes like, hi. And then we just walked out on the patio where David Ochoa was grilling food on the barbecue. And there was the Magic the Amateuring girls were out by the pool, and so we talked to them, but the inside was very intimidating at the beginning. And they had some awesome food, and Elantris, or Athena, was there, Eric Froelich's girlfriend. And there was another woman there, her name was Caitlin, but I didn't know exactly where she was from or anything. And we played some party games. We played Taboo and Scattergories, and a few of them went off to draft. And was very laid back and fun and interesting to listen to them talk about, you know, like the Goyfgate thing was happening and they were all discussing that. And
was Reed there?
Reed was there.
In swimming trunks?
No, he was in shorts.
Damn.
And a shirt.
Damn it. Damn.
They were all in shorts and shirt. I didn't know if anybody actually swam. We got there a little late because we were doing other things, but there was like a part of the pool where you could just stand in that just went up above your ankles a little bit. And so I think people were lounging there.
Wow.
And then Marshall Sutcliffe was there. I talked to him. I complimented his, he had these like neon pink socks on. and we talked about his socks for a little bit. Yeah, it was really fun.
So it sounds like Vegas was a success for all involved. Are you guys glad you went?
Yes.
Very much.
I feel like I'm going to get sick. Like, I feel like it's coming on. Mm-hmm. But that was inevitable with how many people were there and how few hours I slept.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my voice was ruined. Like, by the time I got home, I was having to do, like, vocal exercises because I sounded like Lindsay Lohan after a bender. I was like, I've got to record it. I've got to record two podcasts today. I have to make sure I'm in prime shape, you know. Welcome to the girlfriend bracket. Like, that's, no one's going to want to hear that. So, our listener question today was sent to us while we were in Vegas. And the minute I saw it, I was like, we need to answer this next week because this is a good one. If you have any questions, be sure and send them to thegirlfriendbracket@gmail.com. We are happy to answer them, whether they have to do with magic or not. But this particular one does. And this one also appears to be from another international listener. I'm going to assume Australia based on the g'day. Mm-hmm. But I could be wrong. And the listener says, G'day, Aaron, Hallie, Katie, and Chris. Before I get into my reason for writing, I just wanted to give you a huge thank you for producing such an accessible show. I'm fairly new to Magic, having only been playing for a bit over a year, and all the other shows I've tried to listen to just go over my head. I can actually understand yours, though, and it's great fun to listen to, so thank you very much. The reason I'm writing is that over the last few weeks at my local F&M, something has been bothering me. So many of the people where I play seem really obnoxious. Don't get me wrong, I love magic, and some of the people I've met through it are absolutely brilliant human beings. However, it seems that a lot of magic players, at least at my local store, can be very obnoxious. I can't count the number of times I've played somebody where my opponent has leaned over to the person next to them, showed them their hand, and bragged about how easy it's going to be to beat me. In other instances, I've put out a card of some kind, only to have my opponent say, "This isn't going to be fun for you." Just last night, I had a guy rush me along while I was shuffling my deck. We were starting our second round, and I wanted to give my deck a good shuffle, as I had had land issues the previous round. He says, "Can you cut the deck?" I answered politely that I would as soon as I finished shuffling, and then he replied with, "Can you just do it now so I can draw and get on with this?" Maybe I'm just unlucky with people I've come across, but it's enough of an issue that it takes the enjoyment out of F&M for me. Girls, you've been playing a lot longer than me and been in the community a lot more. I realize that we're in different countries, so this might change things, but is this something you've noticed in your time among the magic community, or have I just had bad luck? Thank you for reading my long-winded email, and thank you again for an awesome show. Cheers, Joe.
You know what this reminds me of, Erin? The lady we were talking to in line to play Two-Headed Giant.
Tell them about
so
that.
So there was a lady and her husband from San Diego who were waiting in line with us for the pairings for Two-Headed Giant on Sunday afternoon, and they were telling about how they used to belong to this very misogynistic, very unwelcoming game store. You know, the they had, what did she say? They had like pictures in the bathroom or something ridiculous like that, and some of them would like refuse to play against her. It was just, it just really turned both of them off to the community. And they said that thankfully there was another game store that they could go to that was much friendlier. The magic events were run by a woman who really took care of the community. But it was, you know, 20, 30 minutes further away. But they were happy to have found that store. And so this listener email made me think of that because I think you see this every once in a while in the community. I personally haven't had a game store that I've gone to where I felt like everyone was out to get me. Every once in a while, there's been maybe like one or two people I've encountered who were a little bit rude, and you know, I would talk to the judge about it, and the judge would do something, thankfully. But I think there are some game stores that become toxic environments because there are high concentrations of players with these views, and they all kind of enable each other. And when your whole community is like that, it's really hard to, change that because of the enabling. So I guess what I would say is, you're not alone. There are other people who deal with this, but there are game stores you can find that will have friendlier and more welcoming environments if you go out of your way to look for them. So I would say, look in your local area, see what other game stores there are, maybe try a couple others if they're within reasonable driving distance, and see what you find there. You may be pleasantly surprised.
Well, it sounds like he's saying that this is unique to magic, that he's saying that he's been in other geekdoms and that by far the magic people he's experienced are much more obnoxious. Like, do you think that this is something more unique to magic or more prevalent in magic?
I'm not sure. Because I've had the same issues playing Warhammer 40K, HeroClix, but like my community for that was pretty good. It was when I would go to more like high level competitions that people would kind of have like a snark factor going on. But I think, with a lot of dorkly related things, sometimes there is that level of snark that's going on with gaming just in general. My store, I've had no problems with people being overly obnoxious or anything like that. And we had, a couple stores close, and then we kind of blended together. And I think that everything is pretty good there. Everyone gets along. And like Hallie said, if you have people that are all going to kind of feed off one another and all act like jerks, then you're going to have a pretty good pool of that. It's unfortunate that people have to go and possibly find another store just to not deal with people that can't be decent, which is rather unfortunate. Because at the end of the day, it's F&M. Everybody wants to just go and play and have fun. I don't think it's a place to necessarily crush everyone's face off and be a dream killer. You just want to have a good time. It's Friday night. You're giving up your time you could do other things to play a game you enjoy with other people who enjoy that game. And I think fostering a community where people are supportive of one another and want, other people to be maybe on the same playing level as them or to help them be better or other things or just have fun should be the goal, not to be like, this is how I'm going to totally ruinate your life tonight. It's like, really? Come on, let's not be that way. So I just hope that not too many people have to end up going out of their way to find a better environment. Like Aaron said before, we're both pretty lucky. We don't really have too many issues by us, thankfully. But I feel bad for people that have to deal with a bunch of, jerk face jerks.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say that magic players are more obnoxious than any other geekdom. Like, I think it draws maybe a more socially awkward crowd than a lot of other games. And I think sometimes when people are trying to deal with that, like they're not used to being in social situations or whatever it is, sometimes that comes across not how they intend it to. And, there are people out there that are going to be jerks or whatever, but there's some people out there who try and make a joke and it's just not funny to anybody. But that's just. and that's just their way of, like, trying to fit in or whatever it is. And so I think sometimes being able to distinguish that can be important in how you receive them. So at F&M, if this, if you're dealing with the same people who are trying to, rush you through shuffling or whatever, you're more than welcome to be like, "Hey, don't rush me. I'm going at a reasonable pace." If you're assuming that this person wasn't shuffling for like 10 minutes or whatever. And I think some people just don't realize that they're coming across as rude. But, obviously some people are going to be rude, and I think telling them that they're rude is one of the fastest ways to fix it, because a lot of people, are going to keep acting the way they act until somebody steps up and says something to them.
I think it's a combination of things. I think I agree. I think I agree with the part about, magic attracting people who might be more socially awkward. I also think the competitive nature might lead to more overcompensating and might lead to more projecting where, people might not feel like they're good enough. I've certainly had, inadequacy issues where I felt the need to puff up my chest, so to speak, or to make myself seem greater than I am, or try to make awkward jokes to, dispel or to distract you from the fact that I'm really nervous or that I don't think I'm doing very well. So I can understand why people might do those things. I'm not saying that it's right, but, you know, I do feel like magic does have that competitive aspect where, you know, people are constantly being measured up against each other, and people who aren't used to that or don't know how to deal with that might find ways to, that's their way of dealing with it. So it doesn't surprise me when I see people, you know, doing things like Joe described, you know, and I'm not sure that's anything that really he can fix. I think I agree with you guys in that if this is a problem, you know, he may want to find another store. It's shitty that it's come to that, but I mean, it just seems like he, you know, is sort of in this echo chamber where he's the only one that's, you know, can see this happening. And if nobody's calling out, if he's the only one doing the calling out, that may not be enough to snap these people out of it.
I think he said in the email that there were other players who corroborated this from his store.
Okay.
So I think, like, if they could, you know, assemble and maybe go talk to a tournament organizer or a store owner and, you know, talk about some of their problems, I think that might be a step in the right direction. But some of those things are hard to change. So.
Mm-hmm. I do think it is important to say something, though. You know, we had a conversation the other day where, you know, I feel like enabling is really popular in geeky communities because, you know, a lot of us were the unpopular kids in school and we didn't have any friends. So when we do become a part of a community like this, we don't want to fuck it up. And we feel like maybe if we call somebody out and say, maybe you need to pop a mint, maybe you need to not say or describe things as gay, we're afraid that we might go back to being that fat, shiny kid on the playground. And, you know, we just want to kind of keep that. Like, we want to keep what we have. And I don't think that's a valid reason to not do the right thing. You know, if somebody is being a jerk, you need to say something. And I've had friends say it to me. And I feel like I'm getting better because people told me that. You know, people said to me, girl, you're getting to be too much to deal with. And that snapped me out of it. And I'm grateful for that. And I just feel like, you know, whether or not you're afraid of being ostracized again, it's just not worth it to keep it in.
Yeah, and I think that...
If that makes sense.
You know, negative interactions obviously always stick out more than positive interactions. And I think, you know, any of us with any problems that we've had in magic, there's like 5, 10, 20 times that have been positive. And so,
yeah,
you know, maybe you do have a few bad run-ins with somebody at your store or whatever. But like over this weekend, I only had 2 negative interactions with players and I dealt with so many people. And that's really just a really, you know, low percentage, which is really impressive. And I think sometimes magic players stop seeing that after a while, and they forget about, you know, all of the positive that there is.
Yeah, and I think it's important, you know, we talked about it on our previous episodes, you know, we try to balance the bad with the good, where, you know, we may have had a negative interaction, but we also like to gush about the positive ones that we've had, and I think that's really important, too, where, you know, instead of telling somebody that they're terrible, I think it's also really clear, I think you should also be clear when you've had a really great time with somebody, and you said, I've had a really good time playing you, or I really hope you take it down, you know, to really balance it out. So, anything else you want to get off our chest before we wrap this up?
I went to Zoomanity while I was in Vegas.
Oh, I heard it was scandalous.
It was sensual and sexual. There was flopping dildos, and there was lots of lumpy doodahs being shaken in all of the directions. It was a good time. I think we would have preferred a different Cirque show. Because it was just like 4 of us friends going out and we're listening to these people like moaning on stage, and there's like they brought people up from the audience, and there is like this 60-year-old woman who was like hip thrusting and all sorts of things. So if you're looking for a sensual sexual comedy act, go see that while you're in Vegas.
You had no idea going into it?
We knew that it was, like, the sexual side of Cirque du Soleil, but we didn't know exactly what we were in for. We actually wanted to go see Mystere, but it wasn't playing on the night where we could all go, and where we'd all not be, like, super exhausted. And so we were like, well, we'll just, you know, we're in Vegas to have fun. We'll go to this thing. And it was a whole nother beast. It was something else. So,
Oh, the zoomanity.
Oh, the zoomanity. Yeah.
I would, was it as uncomfortable as watching a sex scene around your parents? You know, where you're watching a rated R movie and you don't know that there's smutty parts, and all of a sudden this really steamy moment happens, and you're like, oh God, I just want to die.
Parts of it were, they were really good at making the audience more comfortable with it, like through comedy. And so, I mean, there was definitely, we were sitting in the balcony and we were like starting to have fun and laugh and clap and stuff. And it seemed like everybody around us was really, really uncomfortable. And everybody like down on the main floor was having a lot of fun. So we were like the only people in our section that were like cheering, and everybody else is just kind of sitting there like, what the fuck is going on? But they had, there's like this main drag queen that's like leading us through all of the acts, and she comes out in between each one, and it was very good. It was just not, I mean, I guess we didn't know what to expect, so it can't be what, like, it can't be what we weren't expecting, I guess.
All right, so if you're in the mood for lumpy doodahs, y'all should go see Zoomanity in Las
Yeah,
Vegas.
Team Lumpy Doodahs was well represented.
I'm telling you, if we ever get around to t-shirts, I think we need to have hashtag lumpy doodahs on the back of the shirts. Like, I'm envisioning it, and I think we need to
I
do
could go for
that.
that.
I'd wear it.
Yeah, I would too. So if anybody's enjoyed listening to us here on the Girlfriend Bracket, how can they find you all, and how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalcanSan. That's HalcanSan. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/HalcanSan. You can send me an email at hcsmtg@gmail.com, and you can read my articles here on Gathering Magic.
I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at KatieN_14 or by email katie.neil14@gmail.com.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is THKRIZ. That's to Chris. My Gmail is YOTHKRIZ. Yo to Chris. And my Tumblr is also to Chris.
And I'm Erin. You can find me at Original Estrus. It's OriginalOestrus. You can email me personally at estrus@elitistjerks.com. The show is on Twitter at the GF Bracket, and you can email us at thegirlfriendbracket@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening and for bearing with us while we were away for the week. And please take care of yourselves, okay?
Bye.
Bye.